Hi, I'm Elodie Reed, digital producer for Vermont Public Radio. This podcast has been edited for brevity and clarity. Thanks for listening and enjoy.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinzel. The House impeachment proceedings are moving ahead at full speed. Representative Peter Welch has a key role in these hearings. Welch is a member of both the House Intelligence Committee and the House Oversight Committee, and both panels are calling witnesses and gathering evidence as part of the impeachment process. Where do things stand right now? What's the outlook? We're going to turn to Representative Welch for some answers. Because Representative Welch has a closed-door meeting of the Intelligence Committee for most of the day, I had an opportunity to tape this interview with him this morning. Congressman, welcome back to Vermont Edition. Thanks very much for being available.
Thank you.
So a lot has happened this week concerning the impeachment inquiry. Some of your colleagues want the appropriate committees to focus on a wide range of issues that they feel represent unacceptable actions on the part of President Trump, but you've called for a much narrower focus. Why is that?
Well, I think to be focused and to be clear and to highlight what are the most understandable breaches of power by the president is the most effective way to present the case. And really, I think there's three top line issues with the president's conduct. One is national security. There's significant evidence that President Trump endangered our national security when he withheld critical security assistance to Ukraine, and that had been approved on a bipartisan basis. And that, of course, the evidence of that is in that phone call with the president of Ukraine. Secondly, he's undermining our elections. When a president is requesting a foreign power to become involved in our elections, that's illegal. It's what the Russians did, and in fact, 12 Russians have been indicted in the Mueller investigation as a result of that. And then third, there's an abuse of power issue. And my view is that it's an abuse of power for a president to pressure a foreign country to interfere in our election. And the request from the president of the United States to the president of Ukraine to, quote, do us a favor is in that category.
Now, Representative Welch, the White House says the transcript clearly does not demonstrate a quid pro quo. That is a direct link between supplying Ukraine with military weapons and having them reopen an investigation into the activities of former Vice President Joe Biden and his son Hunter. How do you respond to that?
Well, two things. Number one, it is pretty clear that what the president wants, do us a favor. We've given you a lot. You've given us nothing. And this is what I'd like, and that is the investigation. But secondly, you really don't need this, quote, quid pro quo that the president is trying to pin his defense on. A president cannot legally request a foreign power to interfere in our elections. And that request is very explicit. And, of course, just this week, the president is calling on China. He's doing this publicly to get involved in our elections by essentially doing this investigation on Biden, which is obviously he perceives it as to his political advantage.
What do you make of that the president very publicly said that he'd like to see China investigate Joe Biden?
It suggests to me that he doesn't understand how our democracy works. The people of this country have to decide who our leaders are. And we have to respect that above all else. And, you know, we're just coming off the 2016 elections where the evidence from our intelligence committees, our FBI, is uncontroverted that it was Russia that interfered in our election. And we've had convictions. People are in jail as a result of this. And then 2020, fast forward, you have the president trying to get the Ukraine involved in our elections and China. And by the way, that phone call on July 25th was literally the day after Director Mueller testified about this foreign interference. And if you remember, I asked him the question as to whether he worried that this might be the new normal. And what Director Mueller said was that he feared it might be. And what you're seeing with the president's then July 25th request for the favor from the president of Ukraine is an indication that he learned nothing from the Mueller report.
Former envoy Kurt Volker testified in front of several House committees yesterday. Does that testimony show that there actually was an ongoing effort by the Trump administration to have Ukrainian officials investigate Joe Biden?
What it indicates is evidence that it was a widespread and ongoing effort. In other words, the president was making it clear to his subordinates that he wanted the Ukraine to open this investigation. And by the way, you know, there's enormous evidence that there's no basis for that, including the president's assertion that the Ukraine, not Russia, was responsible for election interference in 2016. It's a conspiracy theory that the president has been peddling. But, of course, the Mueller report made it very clear, and as did our intelligence agencies, that it was Russia, not Ukraine. But what that showed with Volker, I mean, he's a Trump appointee, and he was on the page to convey the desire to get that commitment from Ukraine about the investigation. By the way, there's some things here that I find very reassuring. The people who really stepped up, number one, the whistleblower, apparently a CIA career person, public servant, who was so disturbed by this that he did something that continues to be very risky for him. Then you had a Trump-appointed inspector general, and he came before our committee and told us that he had this urgent concern of credible evidence that had to be presented by a credible whistleblower. That's a Trump appointee, and he was by the book and believes in our democracy and our Constitution. And the director of national intelligence, likewise, was very candid, and he's another Trump appointee. So there's some things here that I find inspiring about the commitment of people who serve the public and adhere to the Constitution.
Do you expect that the House Intelligence Committee will hear directly from the whistleblower in this case?
I think we may, but I'll tell you, there's more concern about the safety of the whistleblower because of the direct threats that the president is making. And we have seen how other people might act on that, but that concerns me. I think Chairman Schiff does want to hear from the whistleblower. My view, actually, is at this point the whistleblower is largely irrelevant because the question before the release by the president of the readout of that call, you had to get into the credibility question of the whistleblower. But the whistleblower's credibility has been confirmed by the readout of that call with the president of Ukraine, where the president himself is confirming that he made a request for a favor.
Representative Welch, do I understand if the White House has not complied with the committee's request for specific information that the committee will issue a subpoena later today to require the administration to provide this information?
That's correct. And one of the big concerns that has been escalating since the president was inaugurated is his complete unwillingness to acknowledge the separation of powers and the role that the separate branches play. Congress always has an Article I responsibility, whether it's led by Democrats or Republicans, to do appropriate oversight of the executive branch. And there's always been tension about that. Congress wants more. Executive wants us to do less. But we've always managed to work it out. And we've managed to work it out because both branches appreciate that there's a constitutional obligation that each of us must do our best to meet. What the president's approach has been is to just say no, no documents, no response to any subpoenas, no production of witnesses. And they're continuing to go into that mode. And in fact, I think in the oversight committee on which I serve, that may be a basis for an article.
Do you think the fact that the White House does not want to provide Congress with pertinent information would be an obstruction of justice?
Well, it's an obstruction of the impeachment inquiry, that's for sure. I don't know that that would be obstruction of justice. The obstruction of justice issues were all raised, 10 specific examples in the Mueller report. The refusal by the administration to cooperate with Congress when we're exercising our legitimate oversight function, whether that's a legal obstruction of justice or a basis for an impeachment, I think is the important question.
It seems like the White House is very unlikely that it will comply with the subpoena request. What's the process for challenging a subpoena? Could the administration seek to block it in court? And are we potentially looking at a very long legal battle?
Well, that's the worry that a lot of us have. I think that we would have to go to court. to enforce a subpoena. And you remember in the Watergate episode, the Congress then had to go to court in order to get the release of the tapes. But in fact, we don't want to drag this out. We want to investigate carefully and prudently, but we want to act with dispatch. I mean, the president's game plan on all of these things has essentially been to stonewall and to resist and just try to run out the clock. And my view is that we've gotten to this point, particularly after the Ukraine call, that Congress wants to act sooner rather than later.
So what do you see as a timetable for the entire impeachment process in the House? When would you like to have a vote?
Well, I don't know, Bob, because we've got to do this carefully as well, but we're moving. This whole impeachment process escalated dramatically after the revelation of the whistleblower's report and the release by the White House of that so-called readout of the presidential conversation. And this is what I think is so damning and so difficult for the White House. The president can say there's no, quote, quid pro quo, despite immense evidence that it was exactly that. But in his own words, he asked a foreign power to interfere in the right that you and I and every Vermonter and American has to be the ones that decide our elections. And how in the world do we have a president that is inviting foreign powers to get involved in our elections, especially after 2016 when so much damage was done? If you want to talk smoking gun, that's it. And our job now, particularly in the Intelligence Committee, is to thoroughly investigate all the information we reasonably can get. And, you know, I don't think that's a big, complicated investigation. You know, there's a number of witnesses from the State Department. There's the Rudy Giuliani and, you know, the president's private lawyer. The whistleblower has given us a roadmap, in effect, of other people to interview or to depose. So I think we can move, I think, fairly quickly. And there's a strong desire on the part of us on the committee to act sooner rather than later.
Are you thinking this might be wrapped up by Thanksgiving?
I don't know. Who knows what can happen? And by the way, there's another reason. You know, we've got legislative work to do. You know, next week we're going to be taking up prescription drug price negotiation legislation, you know, something that is of enormous concern to the country and to Vermont. I want to see us do that. I want to see us get energy efficiency in an infrastructure bill. Even though we in the House are going to have to spend some time on impeachment, we've got a governing legislative majority here, and we are going to continue to pass bills. What will happen over in the Senate, we don't know. That's Mitch McConnell, kind of just say no approach to governing. And whether the president would sign them or cooperate, we don't know. But we in the House, in addition to have our responsibility under the Constitution for this impeachment inquiry, want to legislate.
Just before you go, I just wanted to ask you about Bernie Sanders. As you know, he had heart surgery this week to deal with a blocked artery. He had two stents put in to restore the flow of blood to that artery. You've been a strong supporter of Bernie's right from the start. Some political observers are saying that this health episode underscores some concerns about Bernie's age. He turned 78 last month. What are your thoughts about that?
As Bernie himself has said, age is a fair issue. And what he'd been running up to this very moment in his campaign is probably the most vigorous campaign of any of the candidates. This stent procedure, as I understand it, is a pretty benign thing that can be medically dealt with these stents. But obviously it's going to be a renewed question about his age, and that's something he's going to have to deal with on the campaign trail. Bernie's tough as nails, you know. He'll hang in there, don't worry.
Congressman Peter Welch, many thanks for talking to us on what is a very busy day for you in Washington.
Thanks, Bob.